I don't know about y'all, but I'm glad I'm blessed. Y'all glad you're blessed? Every day, no matter what it looks like, no matter what's happening, you're blessed. Come on, Jesus. Well, get your Bibles out. I want you to go to Luke chapter 4 again, if you would, please. I want to go on this message about walking in the power of the Spirit. And I'm just going to, I just feel this to the Lord to just stay here for a while. I'm not in a hurry to get through this message. I just believe God's trying to talk to us. Today is, as I believe, as like no other day, we need to learn and need to be a very closely listening to what the Spirit of God's saying on the face of the earth. Amen? There's all kinds of things going on, all kinds of things taking place, but God's got a specific word for you every day. Listen to me. God has a specific word for you every day. Listen. It's not like, oh yeah, I got a word from God. You know, back in 1934, he spoke to me. No. That's not, God doesn't speak to you just once. He won't speak to you all the time. You may have had a real profound moment of life that stuck with you that God spoke to you at that point. But every day God has a word for you. Do you believe that? And if you wake up in the mornings and you let the world begin to dictate to you what you're thinking, what you're saying, what you're believing, what your vision is. If you let that world and the world's situations and the world's problems and all the things going on begin to dictate your life, then what is going to happen is you're not going to hear the fresh and new word of God for you each and every day. The Bible says in Psalms 23 that goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your life. So, I mean, come on, either the Bible's true or not. It amazes me how we have faith for some scriptures and don't have faith for others. You know, I have never found a person who was believing that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior having problems with Romans chapter 10, verse 9. That it says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ was buried, dead, resurrected from you, that you would be saved. Nobody, you don't find people that are believing in Jesus having doubt that praying and asking Jesus to forgive you your sins and he's going to accept you. Follow me? But then you venture over on one side to the left or the right, depending on how, you know. It's funny. You know, it's really funny. You know how today, have you ever noticed how, like on television, you listen now, it's all about the far right, the far left, you know. But it's hard. It depends on who's declaring what middle is. Like to some people, I would be a far left Christian. But it depends on what you say middle is. Because I consider myself a very staunch conservative Christian. Y'all with me? I just believe the Bible's true. Right? So if God's word says something for your life, that he has a word for you every day, he wants to speak to you every day, he wants to talk to you, he didn't want you to leave you as orphans. But I want to come to you. Right? We got to put those scriptures in text and have as much faith for them as you would have believing that you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Savior, that you're saved. You see what I'm saying? You can't take John 3:16 and just put all your emphasis on it and then not take the rest of the Bible and put just as much faith in it. And so every day when we wake up, God wants to have a conversation with you. He wants to talk to you. However you want to cut it, God, Jesus, the Holy Ghost, however you want to cut it, wants to have a conversation, wants to let you know what's going on in heaven about your life. You with me? And for me, when I say walking in the power of the Spirit, it's not that a person can pray in tongues. It's not that even a person can lay hands on the sick, because I want to tell you why. Jesus himself said that there's people in the book of Matthew. He says there's people that in the last days, they're going to come to me and they're going to say, we were out there healing your street. We were prophesying your street. We were doing all these things and out in the street. And he's going to say, depart. I didn't even know who you were. That boggles my mind. Prophesying I can see. Because people can work up a word based out of their head for whatever and tell somebody, yay, hey. All you got to do is throw yay, hey in front of whatever you want to say and then call it a word. Now, I'm telling you what, that's when people spoke prophecy over my life that I guarantee I know it was of God. It came right out of their mouth and they didn't know me and something was said to me and I know it was prophecy. I'm not downplaying prophecy at all, but I'm just saying that's an easy one to pull off. You could say to any woman, yea, hey, thus saith the Lord. The Lord says you were beautiful. You were as a flower, as the lily of the field. And they're going to say, oh, that was just from God. I just needed to hear that so much. You could tell any man, say, yea, hey, thus saith God, thy mighty warrior. The Lord is calling you to go forth. And they say, yes, it's me. I mean, I know enough about human personality, man. I could prophesy to people all day long and just be me. But it says he laid hands on the sick and they were healed. Oh, now you stepped into a new realm. But he says, depart from me. I don't even know who you are. Okay? So what I'm saying is walking in the power of the Spirit to me means much more than signs and wonders, even though I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that signs and wonders are real. I've seen it. You could put me to a wagon wheel and set it on fire, and you never get me to confess that God does not do instantaneous miracles. I've seen them. Whether anyone believes me or not doesn't make any difference. I've got eyewitnesses. I could go get them all up and that were standing right there with me when I saw legs grow, when I have seen eyeballs that were totally white pop open with eyes and the people could see. I've been there. I've seen it. Freaked me out as much as they were freaked out. It's the absolute truth. It freaked me out. I was like, ah. I've seen all kinds of things like that happen. Out in the mission field, always in the mission field. Once in a while, something pops up around here. Sad to say. Sad to say, but I mean, I've seen it, folks. You'll never get me. You'll never, ever convince me. You'll never tell me because I was there. I saw it. All right? So I'm not ever going to, you can never take that away from me. You can never take me when I talk about walking in the power of the Spirit, that you can never take away the gifts of the Spirit and the things of God like that from me. I've seen it. I'm sold out. It's nothing, it wasn't any preacher manipulating because I was the preacher. And it was sheer, unbelievable miracles of faith because I didn't have any faith for it to happen. It just happened. It was all them. No me. I was just the body. I was just the person that was filled with the Spirit of God that God used. It was a miracle. That's all I can say. I wish it could happen every day, but anyway. But what I'm talking to you about, what I really want you to focus on in these days, this time, is walking in the power of the Spirit where every day your relationship with Jesus is so vibrant, so alive. You are hearing from heaven. He is talking to you. He is directing you. He is telling you where you need to go or what needs to take place or what goes. I mean, just there's a word fresh like dew from heaven falling upon your brain, your heart every day. Because I'm telling you, that's what he wants in your life. And the only reason why we don't hear from him every day is because we get sidetracked in life and the whirlwinds of life and the busyness of life and the problems of life and the worries of life, and we get misdirected in what we're listening to. Sad to say, but that's what happens to us, all of us. We wake up in the morning and our thoughts about how we're going to go through our day. What's going to take place? Where we got to be at a certain time? Who we got to meet today? What's going to go on? What's going to go on with this? What's going to go on with that? Happens all the time. And we just miss it. We miss all the little things. And it's such an amazing thing if you learn to walk in the power of the Spirit and the things of God so that every day in your life, in the busyness of life, but you're still set your heart and your perceptors are turned on to hear from heaven. That's what I'm talking about. Amen? Now let me show you this. Go. I said Luke chapter 4, let's read it. Jesus, chapter 4, verse 1, it says, Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. I want to tell you the secret, the number one key, the number one secret, it's not a secret, it's openly known, but I'm just saying, using the word secret, to walking in the power of the Spirit is being filled with the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5 says that we are to be being filled with the Spirit. It's not one time, it's all the time. It's not just when you made your profession of faith in Jesus and came in as your Lord and Savior. You have to be being filled. I've always said this in life. You know, things get squeaky when they run out of grease. And Christians get squeaky and complainy when we run out of oil of the Spirit of God. Whenever we're running low on oil, we begin to groan and moan, and just like a motor running out of oil. And we've got to stay filled with the Spirit of God. Now, that's another on down the road. Don't talk about that. Let's go over here. Let's look on. It says, Jesus being filled with the Spirit of God, okay, he went out to the wilderness, and he's led by the into the wilderness, and he ran into the old devil. And so he had some battles of the word with him. And I want to tell you, you're going to defeat the enemy in your life by the word of God. There's nothing else that works. The devil cannot argue the word down. But he goes through there, and he comes over here, and Jesus goes through the temptation, goes through all these things. And in verse 14, it says, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. You know, I've seen this so much in Christian walks where a Christian really starts becoming an active Christian in their faith when the very first time they defeat the devil and get victory. But a Christian who lives their whole life and never faces a battle and overcomes the battle by the power of the Spirit, by knowing that Jesus took you through it, and then you come out and you're like, tried and proven. You're like, man, yeah, we overcame that. I mean, so many times my wife and I going through financial struggles, and we were trying to believe God for finances, and then all of a sudden a miracle came through and a financial thing happened. We saw God moving there, and he's like, yeah. And so that just built our faith and strengthened us, and all of a sudden now we've got more of the power of the Spirit in our lives because we've already been through that. We saw God provide. So now it's like, you remember when God did that? But unless you have a story of you remember when God did that, it's kind of hard to walk in the power of the Spirit. You follow me? Because you're just sitting in the place, oh, I hope God does something. And I hope he does it quick, right? You're not in this. I remember, for years I used to journal. And so I'd write down everything. I'd write down little miracles and things that God, I saw him, you know, that day. And I saw what he did, you know. And so I'd write these down. And I remember I was reading it one, this has been like a year or so ago. I got that thing out and I started reading back through it. And we're talking about the very first days of us being saved and trying to live for Jesus the best that we knew how. And our toilet was stopped up. And so I have this written, this little, you know, notation. It's like, you know, I have it all written out. You know, like, I don't remember what it was. I remember it was cold. It was like, you know, January 26th. The devil has attacked. Our toilet is stopped up. You know, it says January 27th. Still don't know what to do. Don't have any money to call the plumber. Believe in God for a miracle. You know, toilet still stopped up. You know, and it goes through this. So it's going through this thing like, you know, every day it's this battle of me over the toilet, you know. And then it's the entry like, God moved today. We had enough money for the plumber to come. Thank God the toilet is working. Thank you, Jesus, you know. And I read these entries and I just laugh at, you know, not even knowing where I was going to end up in life and what kind of things I'd be believing God for. And then that was where I started believing for the toilet, you know. Took me 3 days to get enough miracle to get the toilet going. But bless God, I got that miracle. So then I could say, you remember that toilet? Y'all with me? You got to have stories like that. You got to have something. You got to see where God delivered you from something to build your faith to walk by the power of the Spirit. Otherwise, you're always in the position to say, oh, I don't know. I hope God will do something. He's never done anything. You don't have your faith turned on. You don't have your expectors going. You got to believe God for those things. And I'm still to this day always amazed at God, how he pulls little things off that I'm just like, look at that one. I can't believe that even happened. And those things, I chalk them up, write them down, because I always want to remind myself of that. Now, let me show you something I was looking at and studying here this morning. Go in the Old Testament, Genesis. Let's look at a story, Old Testament story. In Genesis chapter 30, it starts actually in 31. Well, it starts in way before that, but it's the story of Jacob. When Jacob had gone to Laban, his uncle, and was working for him, you know, and you remember he ended up, he went for one wife and got two. And so He spent all these years trying to get all this stuff straight. Y'all know the story. I don't have to go read all the whole story. He goes to there, and so he ends up. Now he's ready to take his family and herds and leave. Okay, and you remember the story? Let me just touch you because I just read the verse and save time. That he went out there and so he cut this deal with Laban. He said, "Look, this is the deal. All of your sheep are white, and so what I'll do is." We'll pull all the speckled rams off there. We'll pull all the striped rams off there, and we'll just leave white rams on white sheep. And then we'll let the breeding season go through. And then when they lamb out, the deer is still in the deer business. When they lamb out, then whatever spotted or speckled or striped is mine. And so this sounds like a good deal. Sounds like a sure deal. And so he does it, right? And you know how they said that if you read the story and you go back and look at it, he says he took basically straight sticks and he peeled the bark off and made them striped like a candy cane and set them by the water troughs. Now, I don't know, I'll show you in a minute why that doesn't really make any difference, but he did that for some reason, okay? And so then they bred in front of the striped poles, but the striped poles, I can show you right here, didn't have anything to do with anything, okay? Look at this. Let me tell you, you think, oh, man. Oh, Jacob was so smart. He knew how to go out there. Probably no wives tale about stripping down bark off of a limb and making it, you know, make those sheep breed right. I don't care what you know. I know genetics. And genetics say it ain't going to work that way. Y'all with me? And God is not you got to understand something. Get out of the things of life that make God change the natural order of things that he's got. Because you see, God can recreate a heart in a person that's broken because he already made the first heart. But you're not going to find unnatural things that take place. It's not voodoo. God's not into voodoo hoodoo. It's not hoodoo. It's he did. Okay, so they took them all away. I'm looking in Genesis 31, and I'm looking over here. He's explaining to his wives what took place. He talks about in verse 8, he took the speckled and the streaks. And then it says, and so God had taken away in verse 9 the livestock of your father and given them to me. And it happened about the time that when the flocks conceived that I lifted up my eyes and I saw in a dream. And behold, the ram which leaped upon the flocks were streaked and the speckled and gray spotted. And the angel of the Lord spoke to me in dreams, said, Jacob. And he said, here I am. And he said, lift up your eyes and now see the rams which leap on the flocks are streaked, speckled, and gray spotted. For I have seen all that Laban has done to you. Listen to me. Wait a minute. The dude was walking in the power of the Spirit. He was walking already and saw in a dream. And God said, look, we've already got it ranged up. Just ask for the speckled ones. Doesn't make any difference what takes place. I've already given you foreknowledge of what has happened, and you're going to get them all. See, we want to, the voodoo hoodoos want to say it was the sticks, but the sticks didn't have anything to do with it. It was the dream. The angel of the Lord already told him. Now, how many of y'all would like to know that you're going in and doing business in life because you've already seen the dream? And so your faith base is, wait a minute, God's already told me what's going to happen. Woo, that's a good place to be. He's already told you it's a good place. You already know it. See, people that don't want to believe in miracles, don't want to believe in things, they get off and they shut everything down. So they miss the voice of God talking to them in the morning. They miss the dream that could come to any person because, you know, Bible says that young men will see visions and old men will dream dreams. And so, you know, I'm crested over to the dream and dream stages. But it's okay. I can tell you, God has spoken to me in dreams before. I have a dream at night. You know how you know if it's a God dream or a pizza dream? It's really simple. It's not complicated. It's really simple. First thing is about a dream and a God dream is you'll always remember it. Pizza dream, after about 2 days, you can't remember what it was. A God dream, you'll always remember it. It'll be stuck with you. It'll be real. A God dream will always be something that to you is so vivid and pointed that it speaks to you down here in your spirit. When you wake up and you can't even figure it out from nothing, you know, like I was dreaming last night, I was tracing a line through the woods and he, I don't know what that has anything to do with it. It doesn't make any sense to you at all. There's nothing coming about it. Okay? And then the third thing is there's always confirmation. Because if you'll find another brother in Christ and you'll tell him about the dream you had, it usually confirms something. He said, well, you know, I can see where, you know, and something will come about. But there's nothing wrong with having dreams and thinking, oh, I just had a pizza dream last night, or stayed up too late, or drank too much Coke, just bloated, went to sleep, dreamed I was a balloon. That was probably not a God dream. You probably just drank too much Coke, and that's your fault, your problem, whatever. Don't worry about it. But God dreams speak to you. Okay, the point I'm trying to make here is that Jacob gained all of his wealth by walking in the power of the Spirit. Now, going back towards the New Testament, stop off at Proverbs chapter 27, I believe it is. No. It's close. Just go to Proverbs. I'll find it. 23. Proverbs 23. Let me show you something. It says in Proverbs 23, verse 7. And let's start reading verse 6. It'll make sense. It says, "Do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacies. For as he thinks in his heart, so he is." As he thinks in his heart, so he is. Listen to me, as you're believing God, as your faith is being released in your life for what is God going to do for you, that's what you're going to see happen. If Moses would have saw a burning bush up on the side of the hill and it wasn't being consumed and said, that's weird, I'm not going up there, that's freaky. He'd have never been Moses in the Ten Commandments. If you go and you look throughout the scriptures, Abraham would have never been Abraham if he wouldn't have believed he heard the voice of God and said he had another a place for him to go. There's not a person in the scriptures that did not have to trust and believe God and walk in it. To me, one of the most amazing people in the Bible of faith was Noah. I mean, it's never rained and God says, go build this huge boat and it's going to rain. And you don't even know what rain is. Now, you've got to know you heard God. And then everybody's against you. Nobody wants to go along. And then you build a boat that the side door is so large you can't shut it. Now, that don't make any sense at all. I would have enough sense if I was building a boat and kind of figuring out what rain was, that a big hole in the side of the thing that I just built is not going to work. But the Bible says God shut the door himself. See, the things that are taking place in your life and the things that are going on, if your faith level is at a place where you're not believing God for miracles, then you're never going to walk in the power of the Spirit, because the power of the Spirit gets activated when you begin to believe God. Now, I've always reasoned this with people that, if you want to go stand in front of your stove, and if you have like a gas stove, and if you want to just stand in front of it and believe God that he'll turn it on and the fire will come out of there, I think he would just say to you, "Oh yea, thus saith the Lord, thou art stupid. Reach forth thine hand and turn thy knob." Right? I think you stare at a spoon and want to make it move. I think that's just foolishness. I think that's not at all what God's talking about. I think what God wants to do in our life is be in our lives. The things that are real. God doesn't, when those kind of things happen, what you're looking for is you're trying to prove that God's real. God wants us to know that he's already real and that we're already believing in him. We're already trusting him. We're already walking with him. And we already know that he is real. We're not debating that point. But when you begin to look for him in everything, then you're starting to move into the realm of walking in the power of the Spirit, because that's what God has placed within you. That's how you're supposed to be. We're all supposed to be supernatural. I don't mean you glow, had to put a veil, but we're all supposed to be walking the supernatural. You should know when you walk into a store or going to make a deal or you're going to do something, you should know right down here whether it's right or not. I mean, I've told my staff time and time again, we'll be doing something, we'll be going down the road, and I'll say, "Something, I don't know, guys, something doesn't feel right. Just stop. I don't know. It looks right, but man." something's not right. Either I'm ahead of God or whatever. Just stop. Just stop. Just wait. I don't know. Just wait. I don't know. And I just go off. I don't get worried about it. Don't fret about it. I say, I don't know, Lord. I don't know what's going on, but. Little things. I had a credit application to a company that I just happened to walk in, and I was buying something, and they said, do you have an account with us? And I said, no, I don't really. I guess I ought to have one with y'all. And they said, well, here. And they gave me the credit app. And I didn't want to take time to fill it out, so I didn't fill it out. I just walked out, put it in my pickup, actually threw it in my file cabinet. I have a file cabinet that I keep underneath my pickup. It's just like a full pile for 4 or 5 years of file cabinet right in my seat. I don't know if y'all have one like that, but, you know, everything is there you ever needed to know. And so I dropped it in my file cabinet, so I didn't ever mess with it, you know. And so a few weeks go by, and I thought, you know, I ought to go ahead and do that. And so I just felt prompted one morning to get the thing and fill it out. So I did. I filled it out and filled it out wrong. And so I sent the thing in, and it was wrong. And so I didn't hear anything response back from the company. So this afternoon, literally right before church, I'm just thinking about the message tonight, praying, talking to the Lord and everything. And I was quickened about that. Just popped in my head out of nowhere. I'm just praying, talking to the Lord. Popped in my head about this credit app again. And so I thought, I want to call over and see if they got that thing. I called over and said, yeah, well, you didn't do it right. You only sent the front sheet, and you needed the back sheet, and you didn't send the front. We hadn't done it, but it's just come on in. You know, it's done. We all know who you are. It's no big deal. We'll do it. And I hung up the phone, and another person called me and said, listen, do you have an account at so-and-so? And I said, well, technically no, but yes, I have the application in my hand or whatever. Well, we need to do this and this deal, and we need to buy this stuff and whatever. And I was like, isn't that weird? See? Weeks went by, but I was just listening to the things of God. And, I mean, it doesn't have any big deal. It's no big deal. It's no big monumental thing. It was just this little thing. But to me, I was like, well, God, thank you, man. You're walking with me. And thank you, Lord, that I'm already ahead of the game here and didn't even think about this. And look at this deal. Look what you're doing here. Somebody else could have gone and said, oh, yeah, well, I'll take care of that in the morning, and done all these deals and maybe, you know, made the same thing happen. But to me, it was tender to me. It was showing that God cares about everything that's going on. And I was seeing him moving, and I'm like, thank you, Lord. That's just cool. I'd rather do it God's way, a God deal, than a natural deal and just did it by my abilities. You see what I'm saying? Folks, that's what I'm talking about. That's what God wants to do for us every day. And some days we have to do things that we don't understand to make up for what's coming down the road over here, that then the piece is going to fit into the puzzle. But you have to get up every day and do what Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him, and he'll make your path straight. Whoo, sometimes that's a hard one. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and you're like, oh, God, I need you to do something quick. How many times I've tried to be like a strong redwood tree planted deep in the ground, and the wind blows, and I'm like, oh, God, I'm not going to go over. Then the wind ceases, and you straighten up, and you kind of lean into the wind, and then you're making some ground, and then you're back here and going, whoa, we're not going down. But that's okay. It's all right. I've even learned that sometimes I have made mistakes and done the wrong thing, but believed God to redeem it. I said, Lord, man, I think I'm out here, and I have gone on the wrong road. And then come across somebody else and said, I'm about to do this. And I said, oh, don't do that. I did that. Don't go there. Still was victory, right? That's the power of the Spirit I'm talking about. Look at it. Let's look at another scripture in the New Testament. Go to Matthew chapter 8. You know, let me just tell you another one, another little funny one. I just feel like storytelling tonight. Some of you know this and some of you don't, but I manage a ranch and we have that has white-tailed deer on it. And so every so often we have to work these deer, and we work them through a facility that's made out of a container that has all these rooms in there. So you have to go, you bring the deer in, and, you know, I mean, they're wild. They're no Bambis. Listen, forget Bambi. Bambi doesn't exist. These deer got teeth, man. They eat you. And so, you know, you have to go take them in there. And, you know, they're deer, so they're crazy, and they don't act like any of the livestock. And so, they're totally and completely wild. And so we take them into these boxes, and it's a container cut up in these five rooms. And so they're, you know, roughly like 8 by 8 or 10 by 8 rooms. And so there's all plywood. It's completely blacked out. It's completely dark. And so you have to go into those rooms with the deer. You know, they're not like drugged. They have not been sedated. And you have to go in there and sort them out. And so, you know, it's a pretty interesting job. And so I was going into the box the other night, and we had one deer out of 17 we needed. One deer. And it happened to be a 3-year-old buck. And, you know, Skip here, he knows about the deer business. You just really don't want to mess with 3-year-old bucks. I mean, they can get pretty nasty. And so they needed one buck out of 17. All right? And so we put them in there. And Joseph, my son, was helping me. And he said, well, what are we going to do, Dad? We said, we're going to pray. Now, that doesn't make any sense, praying, you know, for the deer. But I said, Lord, we need that buck out of there. And so you do a miracle. And so I go into this box. Okay, it's completely black. You got to understand, I go in there with a little red flashlight. You're just like, you don't know what's happening. And so I went in there and shut all the doors, and I'm trapped in there with them. And so I'm looking, and I'm going along, and I'm thinking, okay, I just need this buck. Come on, Jesus. Need this buck. And I walk into this room, and standing right in the corner all by himself was the buck. And I just looked at him, and I was like, oh, my God. Jesus. And I thought, I must not have had much faith, because I mean, it just blew me away. He was standing there, and I shut it, and before Joseph could even make himself around, I said, I got him. He's like, what? He's right here. So open up the gate. I'll turn him out. And everybody was floored. Now, you see, folks, that's what I'm talking about. Walking in the power of spirit. It's just a deer. Does it make any difference? Is it going to change the world economy? No. But it blesses me, and God cares about your business and right where you are and right what you're doing. And God honored my prayer and my son, and saw by faith that what was going on. And so then, you know, the night went on, and I needed another cut. And I said, okay, God, you know, thank you. You did it once. I mean, I already seen the miracle there. So go in there. And I mean, it was the same thing. There was a deer standing in the box. Said, hey, sweetie, how you doing? Just stand there for a minute. You know, shut the door on you. Turn you out. I mean, it was. That's what I'm talking about. That's what builds my faith. That's what stirs me. I didn't have to have a blind eye pop open at that moment, because I know that God was moving and doing something. Somebody else can say, that's just so silly, but it doesn't make any difference to me. It was speaking to me in my faith. You follow me? Folks, that's how we should believe in every day, walking every moment of every single day of our lives and everything God is going on in our lives. Now, here, let's see it happen. In Matthew chapter 8, when chapter 9, the story of the woman being healed. Hold on a second. Yeah, it is. I want the story in Mark. Go to Mark. I like Mark's better here. Go to Mark chapter 5. Let's read it in Mark's here. It's the same story of the woman. Jairus comes to Jesus, asks him to come heal his daughter. He's going on the right way to heal the daughter. And the woman who had an issue of blood, pick it up in verse 25. It says, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians, and she had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. And she heard about Jesus. She came and behind him in the crowd, and she touched his garment. Now, you know, let me say this. In the Old Testament, you could go into, and there was a priest's garment. And the bottom of their garment, they had those little tassels. And in that tassel, there was a blue thread, and that blue thread represented the word of God. So what this woman was saying in her mind, knowing just by her Jewish faith of what she had to go do and what was going to take place, is that she was looking to the word of God, the promise that Jehovah God would heal her, right? That Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals, was going to touch this woman. She'd been to the physician. She'd done everything she could. She couldn't be healed. She went to the word of God and began to say, if I can just grab hold and touch the word of God from this man, I'll be healed. So she said, verse 28, she says, if only I may touch his clothes, I'll be made well. And immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt that in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned and around and into the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? Jesus, the anointed word of God, walking that day with people touching him everywhere in this crowd. But one woman touched him in faith. And when she touched him in faith, that anointing in the word of God touched her. Boom. Jesus felt that something left him, but it touched her because she said, I felt it heal me. And he said, I felt it go out of me. Right? Let me put this in a reverse perspective. How many times have you ever been around somebody that was so negative when you left, you were as negative as they were? I want to tell you something. It's easier to slip into negativity than it is to slip into positivity. Is that a word? I doubt it. But I just made it up. Write it down in the dictionary. Our human nature can easily go down. But it takes the word, the anointing word of God, to bring us up and to put us into a place of victory. But she was believing. Now, go on. Let's read on the story. And the disciples said to him, the multitude is thronging you. And you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see what was done. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing that what had happened to her, she came and she fell down before him and said, told him the whole truth. And she was fearing and trembling because she was a woman with an issue of blood, so she was unclean. So therefore, her being unclean in a crowd full of people who were ceremonially clean could have taken her out and stoned her to death. So what she did, she risked her life for. Let me ask you this. What things in life are you willing to risk your life for? The things in life you're willing to risk your life for is what will bring you victory in life when you're willing to do it with Jesus. If you're not willing, listen to me. If you're not willing to lay it all down on the line because you so much believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then I want to tell you something. You're not really going to walk in much miracles in life because you're not at the place where you're believing Him. So when we come to those places in life that we're willing to risk embarrassment, ridicule, shame, whatever, being thrown in with a lot of crazy ones. See, being charismatic or Pentecostal or believing God or what I just call conservative right puts you out there because, see, then you can start getting associated with, oh, you're from one of those churches. I said, no, I'm not from one of those churches. Just believe God. Believe that He does miracles. Believe that He loves us and He wants to have a relationship with us every day of our life. And that's all I'm believing. Believing He's real. Believing the Bible, Word of God's true. Believing right's right and wrong's wrong. I don't see that that's that complicated. The woman goes through here and he says, verse 34, daughter, your faith has made you well. Jesus did not say to the woman, yea, hey, O woman, thou hast touched me, the great anointed one, the Messiah, come down from heaven to help all humanity. Glow, go, my little flower, and be planted into the world, and bloom, and glow. Want me to keep going? You get the point? He looked at her and says, it's your faith. In other words, it's what you did in life. It's what happened on the inside of you, what you started believing for, what you started doing. T- touched me, and that's what brought it. Because, you know, the same story goes when Jesus went to Nazareth. He said, and he was on his own hometown, and nobody got healed. Just a few sick folks got healed. Isn't that funny? Nothing much happened. Just a few sick folk got healed. That would cause a major revival today. Right? Okay. Now, what's interesting about this, and I'm finishing up here. So, while he was still speaking, I'm reading 35, some came to the ruler of the synagogue of this house and said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the house, do not be afraid, only believe. So, in other words, he caught him right there and said, stop, hey, ho-ho, don't listen, don't go in there, don't go down that road, don't go down that trap. Don't get caught up in that. You just had, the Bible calls them fiery darts, but you just had a fiery dart, an assignment from hell sent against you and to cause you to not believe. They said, your daughter's dead. They've given you the bad report. I've seen it, folks, happen more times than I want to admit, that I'll be standing in a hospital room praying for somebody, trying to get their faith stirred up to believe God. Tell them and convince them that God's got a miracle for them. Something's going to happen. You got to believe God. You got to believe God. And a doctor comes in, gives a report. They take the bad report and it's all over. And as much as I want to stand up and scream and holler, no, no, no. And if you go study and you go interview people that have had miracles and things like that, the first thing they did was lock all doubt and unbelief out of the room. Because I'm telling you, that doubt and unbelief is just like with Jairus. It would have stolen from him the faith that he already had to believe in, that if Jesus came to his house and touched his daughter, she'd be made well. Because if he didn't really believe it, he wouldn't have gone to the trouble to go get him. Right? So if you notice 37, it says he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, and the brother of James. And he came to the house, the ruler of the synagogue. He saw all that was going on. They saw the commotion, the weeping. He told them, he said, you know, the child's not dead, but she's just sleeping. They ridiculed him. And he put them all outside. See, he got rid of all that doubt and unbelief. He got it out of the room. He said, I'm not going to have that here. And then, you know, the rest of the story, spoke to her, and she was healed or raised from the dead, or however you want to look at it. The point I'm trying to tell you, folks, is God wants you to walk in the power of the Spirit every day. But every day, the fiery darts of the enemy are going to coming to steal from you what the Word of God says. And you have got, that's the battle, the wrestle, is clinging on to what God said and what the report says. Isaiah 53:1 says, and whose report are we going to believe? You got two reports going. Whose report are we going to believe? You know, and I'll finish with this. You know, I always use this example of my father-in-law over there. He's about the nicest guy you'll ever meet face of the earth. He's just naturally nice. He's got, you wouldn't want to make him too mad, but I'm saying, he's just a naturally nice guy, you know, but just don't make him mad. No. But if somebody came to me and told me a story about Bill that said, well, he was down there lying and cussing, and I'd say, well, somebody must have slipped him some drugs or something. I mean, that, you follow me? If that happened, I'd have to say that's not his nature. That's not him. I've known him for, you know, my whole life, and he's never been, that would be contrary to what I know. You see, and so if we don't know the goodness of God and who God really is, then it's easy for the enemy to sling in a fiery dart and hit us. And then we start thinking, well, maybe is God really going to do this or not? Maybe God doesn't do miracles, or maybe he really isn't talking to me. Maybe I did hear God, or maybe I didn't. I don't know. Maybe that was, or I don't know. And you see, that's the enemy's tactic, because he knows he's completely scared of you if you ever get to believe in God. Because if you get to believe in God, you're going to be like the woman who gets healed. Right? and you become dangerous. Now, all of a sudden, whoo, you just don't know what's going to happen. Amen? So let's just be dangerous in life. Let's just believe God in life. If you don't have a book going yet of little miracles, things God, well, you need to get one started. You need to get them started. If you're just like me, starting out believing God for your sewer. I started at the bottom, worked my way up. You cannot believe the joy, inexpressible, that came into our lives when it worked. Exceeding abundant joy. Amen? So you got to believe him. Amen? Okay, well, praise God.